Just give us a second,
Hey, how are you?
Hey,
how are you?
Please share with us for 5 minutes for the formalities. Thank you everyone for being here. We really appreciate it. The rest of the people are waiting for us too. And we welcome Imtiaz, a brother who we are proud of and we really admire. And we try to follow in a small way in his footsteps. So, and Mrs. Suleiman and
Ahmad.
Speak, man. I just tried to bring order.
It's
very
much a pleasure to have you here. And we really appreciate your presence today. And we are grateful to Almighty for making all this possible for all of us. And you are really inspiring for all of us. If we can do 1% of you, what we do, we really appreciate you.
Just go slow, eh?
And you can look this way.
It's just pose first, right?
Okay.
Just don't cut it, Pose it. Yeah, just go back. Give me a second. 1 second, just pose.
Everybody.
Just pose for us. We'll tell you when you're ready. Okay, you guys ready? Okay, I think we're ready now.
All of you.
On 3, 2, 1. Go.
3, 2, 1.
Yay!
Just 1 second. Give us a second. Don't pull it.
Sudhir, you can go more in.
Come more in.
Yeah, go more in. Okay, you're going to go slowly now? You guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
On 3, 2, 1.
Another step forward.
There we go. Just look at the. That's it. Okay.
Yeah. Warming up. Just give me a step back. Thank you. That's it.
And gives me great pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to say a few words about this very special gentleman with us here this evening. Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman commenced private practice in Pietermaritzburg in 1986, but chose to close his flourishing practice in mid-1994, choosing instead to focus his attention on Gift of the Givers Foundation, which he had founded in early August of 1992. His establishment of the Gift of the Givers Foundation was a consequence of a message Dr. Suleiman, then aged 30, had received from his spiritual leader in Istanbul, Turkey, who called on him to serve all people of all races, all religions, all colors, of all classes, of all political affiliations, and of any geographical location. A calling he honored then and continues to honor today. His endeavor in this regard has seen Gift of the Givers Foundation emerge as one of the most respected humanitarian organizations in the world, and is today the largest disaster response agency of African origin anywhere on the continent. Since 1992, Dr. Suleiman has steered the organization to many notable achievements and world firsts, including the implementation of 21 different categories of projects, delivering well in excess of 4.5 billion rand of aid, coming to the assistance of millions of people in no fewer than 45 countries across the globe, inclusive of South Africa. Designing and developing in 1993 the world's first and only containerized mobile hospital of its kind, which is deployed in Bosnia and has been compared by CNN to any of the best hospitals in Europe. Designing the world's first containerized primary healthcare unit in 1994. Innovating the world's first groundnut soya high energy and protein supplements known as Simple Caesar Ready Food Supplements. The supplements has proved ideal for people suffering from such conditions as HIV and AIDS, TB, malnutrition, cancer, and other debilitating disorders. And heading the first organization in the history of South Africa to have received 60 million rand from government for the design and successful rollout of more than 204 million food parcels. Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure now to call upon our next awardee for this evening, Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman. Let's give him a huge round of applause. And to present this award to Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, we request for Kepler's president, Mr. Mahesh Kadesha, to join us on stage. We have the lovely wife of Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman with us here this evening as well. So we have a very special presentation for her. This is obviously because it was Mother's Day just the other day, and we'd like to give her a very special bouquet from Mrs. Saroj Ben Jamnadas. Ladies and gentlemen, so request for Mrs. Suleiman to join us on stage. So ladies and gentlemen, okay, we're gonna get a few words from Mrs. Suleiman, and I think we're going to also have a photo opportunity with all the awardees on stage in a short while. So ladies and gentlemen, firstly, let's give a huge round of applause to Mrs. Suleiman.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so humbled to be here this evening. Firstly, I must apologize for my dress code. We are having a medical conference next weekend, so I've been up and down between Durban and East Maritzburg today, and I didn't expect the function to be of this nature. But I'm so humbled, and my journey started with the Gujarati community as a scholar back in primary school. So coming here today makes me feel like I'm at home. I know so many faces that are present here today, and I just want to say thank you so much for honoring my husband. Our daughter is here with us. It was so nice when I walked in and I met Dr. Devji. She was head of department at Addington when I worked there. She's somebody that we hold so close to our hearts. My principal from Durban Girls Secondary is sitting at the table behind me. I don't think she remembers me, but I said to Itesh Bhai that was my principal when I schooled at Girls High. Going back to primary school, I schooled in Surat Hindu, and I was part of the Sapta Mandir because of all my Gujarati friends. So I just want to say thank you, and what you are doing for the elderly, it really and truly warms my heart. On Mother's Day, Imtiaz and I were in Durban to see our own mothers, and we stopped at the old age home. And it really saddened us to see that there were so many mums at the old age home that were sitting there, their kids had not visited them. So what's happening here really just warms my heart, because it's actually not an old age home. It's a home away from home. And it allows the elderly to feel loved and to feel appreciated. Because, you know, we have to go by our book. It says, Mata Pita Gurudev. You honor your mother, your father, and then you get to see God. And in Islam, we believe that the gateway to heaven is under the feet of our mothers. So it truly warms my heart today to be here and to see so many faces. Thank you so much for honoring my husband in tears and myself. We feel so loved and so blessed. Thank you so much.
Being with us here this evening, we really do appreciate you being with us and spending the evening with us. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have that photo op on stage right now with all the awardees, and then we'll get to hear from Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman. Okay, Mr. Suleiman, we're going to request for you to return to stage, please, for this photograph.
To me how much we've preserved culture. That over the years, the elderly people have made sure that those below them continue holding the community together. In our country and the way the world is developing, we need to get the youth involved, because unfortunately, many of the youth are losing their way. And building community, having gatherings like this and events like we've been having in the program that I saw on video, is the best way to guide our youth to the straight path and to get involved in community activity. What my wife said earlier is very true. It's heartbreaking. People think that you set up nice buildings for old people. But what old people really yearn for, but before I get to that, I must congratulate you on the quality of the building that you've put up. That you haven't spared any expense to take care of people like how you take care of yourself. In religious terms and in human terms, we strive for excellence in everything that we do because it's about human dignity. But we need to understand that old people's greatest need is for companionship. And it's important that if those people in the homes have young people, family members, we need to visit them. Visiting them, giving them time is the greatest form of blessing and prayer. And I hope that young generations start connecting with old people and showing that love and affection. Because one day, when I'm looking at these pictures again, the old people, I think of the movie Carvalho. We don't know, because tomorrow we're going to be like that too. We're going to get old at some point, if we can drop dead tomorrow. And this video and this home is a clear indication, a reminder that the only thing in life is about doing good. There is no other achievement. And before I give you some background on Gift of the Givers, let me explain to you by a classical example. You see, when COVID came, everybody said it's a curse, it's a virus, it's a monster, we're going to fight it, we're going to put it in its place. The COVID is not a monster. It's a virus created by God Almighty. And it came to teach man lessons. It came to teach you about awareness, about mindfulness, about God's grace, about gratitude. You see, you could have gone to the front of the most expensive hospital in the country, and you could have said, I have ₹2 billion in my account. I know the president, I know the health minister, I know the CEO of the hospital, I know the group CEO, I know this one and that one. I need a bed with oxygen. I mean, the hospital is full. Your ₹2 billion is not going to make any difference. Because they're not going to take somebody out of the bed with only 50,000 there and give you that bed with ₹2 billion. What your ₹2 billion and all your skills and all your achievements and all your acknowledgements, God shows you who is king. That you will drop dead in front of that hospital with all your money. Life is about service. And in the Hindu community talks about seva. There is no greater blessing on earth and achievement but to serve with distinction. And I'm very, very proud of what you guys have done here. Not second grade, not cheap. Quality buildings for people. You don't even know who they are. With love and affection, that's a huge source of blessing for you and the community. But the greatest blessing would be to get our youth involved and develop with us so they don't lose the way. I've met so many parents in the last 2 weeks. They say, our young generation, we have to take care of them. We don't know where they're going to. They've got their own ideas. They're getting lost. We need to bring back that sense of community. I come from a place called Potter's Room. Very small place in the north town in the Surut, northwest. When we were small and we were naughty, the parents would come from somebody else and say, Mr. So-and-so, your child is very naughty. And your old parent would tell that parent, give him 2 shots. Why? They would say that your child is my child. We've lost that. We need to go back to community parenting. But earlier somebody spoke about ego. The ego is very, very destructive. Today you tell a parent your child is naughty, they'll tell you mind your own business. That's a fact of life, and we destroy our community and the values that we have. We need to go back to that very seriously. I want to share with you my journey, because everything you guys need a word for is not known. And I'll explain to you why. The English date of Gift of the Givers is very close to your formation here. Yours was 93, we were 6 August 1992. Official date 6 August 1992. I want to focus on a concept called spirituality. Gift of the Givers is not my organization. I didn't get up one morning and say, okay, today, I think I'll form an organization, give it a name, get some founding members, write out the constitution, and do 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. No, it never happened that way. It is totally spiritual in the way it happened, and to me, the spirituality started in 1985. I was in King Edward Hospital doing internship, here in Durban. And I said to myself, when I finish internship, next year I'm going to be a medical officer. And after that I'll be a registrar. And then I'll be a specialist in internal medicine, I'll be a consultant physician. It never happened that way. No place to study, no opportunity. I couldn't go forward. I had 2 choices, much like what sort of many South Africans have today, what the current challenges we have. I could sit in the corner and cry and be depressed and make cartwheels and say life is over and I'm going to die. Or alternatively, God has given us internal resilience. He's given us faith. He's given us strength. And I do something different. So I'm going to GP practice. Something I didn't want to do then, I never want to do up to now. But life has to carry on. God has a very good reason why He does certain things. When we pray, we don't pray for what we want. We pray for what is good for us. Because what we want may not necessarily be good for us. And I understood that there was a greater purpose why I did not become a physician. So in January 1986, I moved to Marisburg. I started GP practice. And the same week, an Afrikaner man from Pretoria moves to Marisburg. My neighbor, who's a butcher, comes to me and said, I got this Afrikaner guy. He came to teach French at the University of Natal. He needs a doctor, he's got a medical problem. So me and Mala meet. And after many treatments, he tells me one day, I need to share a story with you. He set out on a scholarship in America. And one day, I was walking through the streets of America, aimless, sad, dejected, heartbroken, soul empty, spirit empty. I didn't know what was wrong with me. And suddenly in the corner, I see a man looking at me. I look at that man, I don't know him. My heart tells me to follow the man. We have a teaching, when in doubt, family situation, business, decision, anything. When in doubt, look internally, follow your heart, not your head. So I follow the man, and the man walks into St. John the Divine, a huge church in New York, which I visited on my way to the earthquake. And when he got there, he realized the man is a Muslim, a Turk, a Sufi master, a master of spirituality. And when he gets in the church, this man suddenly starts making a zikr in the church. In Islamic terminology, zikr is a celebration of God's names in Arabic. In other scriptures, we would say the one and only, kind, compassionate, merciful, living, eternal, absolute, cherisher, nourisher, sustainer, and so it goes. And he said, in the church, there were Jewish rabbi, Christian priests, Hindu pandits, all people of all faiths, and people of no faith. And they all participated in the ceremony. And that made me stand up and think. You see, the elders in the past of all religion understood the unity of religion, the unity of mankind, that we all come from a single nation. And real religion doesn't make conflict between people. It's people who move away from religion that make conflict. In the very same way that lawyers that destroy their own accident fund, you don't shut down the law profession. When doctors do malpractice, you don't shut down the medical profession. So in this chaos in religion, it's because people have moved away from what is right and just. Mullah tells me, you need to go to Istanbul. That's 1986. So I tell him, Mullah, it's 1986, I still haven't seen Cape Town. When am I going to see Istanbul? He said something very profound, and we all believe in this. He said, what God wills happens. There's a time and a place. And that time and place was August 21, post-Gulf War. I go to the place, and what Mullah saw in New York, I saw in Istanbul. What he saw in the church, I saw in the Sufi place. Jews, Christians, Hindus, Muslims, people of all religion and no religion, Americans, Russians, people from India, Brazil, Argentina, Mexico, Australia, Canada, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, New Zealand, Africa, all parts of the world. What was amazing, there was no friction, no fighting, no discord, no enmity. There was only one overriding factor, and it was called love. The real essence of religion is love. The spiritual teacher looked at my faith without in shock. I couldn't believe this. People of different faiths have fought all over the world. What are they doing in the same place together? After the Gulf War, he said, my son, what do you see? I said, I'm confused. People of different religion, different nationalities, in the same place, and they're fighting all over the world. How is this possible? He said, my son, you see light. He went on to say, mankind is one single nation. The God of all mankind is one. We just call him by different names. Any imam, priest, sheikh, Sufi, rabbi, pandit who promotes violence, extremism, terrorism, discord, conflict or confrontation is not a man of God. Don't follow him. 90% of people's love, kindness, compassion, and mercy is a man of God following. We need to bring that back in our country and in our people. I go away. My heart yearns for that place. 6 August 1992, that's official date of Gift of the Givers. 10 o'clock at night, Thursday, after the zikr again, the spiritual teacher just looks up, makes eye contact with me, and looks heavenwards at the same time. In fluent Turkish, and I don't speak a word of Turkish, but I understood every single word that he said in Turkish. He said, "My son, I'm not asking you, I'm instructing you to form an organization. The name in Arabic will be Waqful Waqifin. Translated, Gift of the Givers. You will serve all people of all races, of all religions, of all colors, all classes, all cultures, of any geographical location and of any political affiliation. But you will serve them unconditionally. You will expect nothing in return, not even a thank you. In fact, in what you're going to be doing for the rest of your life, expect to get a kick up your back. If you don't get a kick up your back, regard it as a bonus. Serve people with love, kindness, compassion, and remember the dignity of man is foremost. What you've done here is dignity of the people. And we need to look after the dignity of people, because tomorrow we can be in the same place. Clothe the naked, feed the hungry, provide water to the thirsty. And in everything you do, be the best at what you do, like what you've done here. Not because of ego. Ego destroys relationship between husband and wife, between parents and children, between family members, between communities and organizations, and government and corporate companies, and family businesses. Ego destroys that. Not because of ego, but because you're dealing with human life, human emotion, human suffering, and human dignity. My son, this is an instruction for you for the rest of your life. And then came the most important message I spoke about this. Remember, whatever you do is done through you and not by you. Whatever we achieve is by the Almighty's grace, not our cleverness. It's only His blessing, His guidance. I'm in this business for 30 years. What you guys think I do, I don't do. It's not humanly possible. If everything that people think that we do, it's the hand of God Almighty that guides every single aspect of what we do. Ask the teacher, how come when you speak Turkish, I understand? And I'm going to speak Turkish, I don't understand. He said, my son, when the hearts connect and the souls connect, the words become understandable. I asked him, what am I supposed to do for what you told me? I'm a doctor in private practice. I've got 3 surgeries in a place called Pietermaritzburg in South Africa. What exactly am I supposed to do? He told me one line, you will know for 30 years I do know what to do, how to do, what to touch, what not to touch. In fact, the moment I walked out of that place on the 6th of August 1992, it came to me in response to the civil war in Bosnia. The same month, not even 5 months later, the same month alone, I took in 32 containers of aid into a war zone. 3 months later, in November 1992, took in 8 containers of winter items. And in 1993, we designed the world's first containerized mobile hospital. A product of South African engineering, South African technology. Burned in Africa and taken into Europe. As an aside from what I'm telling you, how many of us believe in ourselves? How many of us believe in our country? How many of us believe in the African continent? We have great skills. We have great minds. We can fix anything. And I'll give you a few examples and I'll stop. You see, in 2010, when the earthquake hit Haiti, we sent teams across. Day 8, 20th January 2010, we made world history. Never in the history of the world has any team from the African continent taken anybody out of the rubble alive in an earthquake outside the African continent. In the collapsed Catholic Church, my teams went in and they had sounds and they pulled out alive 64-year-old El Azizi. Her first words were, "I love God." Doesn't matter what religion she is, God is saying, "I love God Almighty." We instilled hope and faith into somebody 7,000 kilometers away. Her second words were, "I love you." The essence of religion is love. And I'll finish off with this last point. That skill, compassion, care, professionalism is critical. You see, in disasters, some people send tents, blankets, food, medicines, bottled water, sanitary pads, diapers, and so forth. Other people send primary healthcare medical teams. Some send trauma teams. Trauma teams meaning orthopedic surgeon, general surgeon, vascular surgeon, anesthetist, theater, nurse, ICU. Some people send post-op rehab. Spinal injuries, spinal surgery specialists make people walk again. Some send trauma counselors to help all the post-traumatic stress syndrome and everything else that happens. Some people send search and rescue teams. Some people send dogs. Some people send medical equipment. Some people send search and rescue equipment. Some people rebuild the clinics. Some people rebuild hospitals. Some people rebuild houses. Some people restart agriculture. In conflict zones, if somebody is taken hostage, people do hostage negotiations. We're the only team in the world that does all of the above. There's no difference. Made up of us, South Africans. In our schools, our universities, our hospitals, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, all together, we are one team that goes across. Three women stand out and one man stand out as a doctor, stand out in my teams. Dr. Anupa Ramnarayan, who's a vascular surgeon in KB Hospital. Dr. Cassandra Gavinder, ONG specialist in Strang Hospital. Dr. Morgan Gavinder, general surgeon in Peter Maritzburg in Grace Hospital, and Dr. Amit Ramchand, a pediatrician specialist in Cape Town. People like that stand up and give service and bring life to people who've got no hope. And when we go there, they look at us, we've assisted people in 45 countries. When they look at us, they say, "You guys are different." And we ask them in which way. They say, when other teams come here, they are aloof. Their ego, their arrogance. They don't touch out people. They stand far. They look at us as some kind of plague. There's no dignity. There's no respect. There's no love. But your teams show love, compassion, kindness. They take our children and they wipe their dirty noses. They hug them. They show the same kind words to us. They give us a listening ear. They give us good treatment and good medication. And they show us and treat us with dignity. May God bless you and your country. May God bless all of you for what you've done, financed and supported, so all people can have a better life. We have a prayer that paradise lies under the feet of the mother. And we need to take care of the mother. And a special lesson to youths: don't lose the way. Because tomorrow, your children will forget who you are. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, a huge round of applause for Dr. Ndiaye Suleiman.